Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
Hey, just like the Bahamas, huh?
Yeah!
How beautiful is this, man? How about those?
Jeez!
You gotta love it.
You guys went out, you put on, you dominate. You dominate a really good football team. And we earned it. We talk about an opportunity you guys earned up, and then you came and showed what Texan-style football looked like.
Give it up to everybody in this room. First seventh seed in the history of the NFL.
Dude, how electric was it out there? I'm telling you what, it doesn't get any better. It's everything you dream of and then more. All right, that's outstanding work. I got two game balls. Okay, I'll just say it like this. All right? Hey, you're good enough for Detroit. Yeah!
Well, again, we should also be so mistreated by our employers that it give a $60 million guaranteed a year or two before they decide to move us elsewhere. But it did work out for Jared Goff in the end. It worked out for the Lions.
A little payback.
In the end. You know, the post-game,
yeah,
we show it every week. It almost seems like they're more excited during the regular season than the playoffs, and I think they're guarded during the playoffs because they know,
yes,
let's not empty the tank here.
Right, right.
And let's
there's more cameras in the locker room.
True.
Let's not give them bulletin board material right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's also the week's daunting during the playoffs, right? We know the grind for the coaches. It even is like the most grinding job for 5 or 6 months of the year. When it goes playoffs, they do have an ability to where it's borderline they're sleeping there, right? So where I think that's also like, damn, you know, we won today. I got a few hours here, and now it's like it's right back to work. And you know they can't celebrate too long with the nature of this business.
Best example of that, the Green Bay Packers, their reward for going to Dallas, and we'll talk about that game in full detail coming up, but they go to Dallas, they become the first seven seed. And it sounds dramatic to say in the history of the NFL.
The first one ever.
They've been doing it for 4 years. But
in the
still.
Fourth year.
But they go there and win.
Yeah.
And guess what you get to do now?
Yeah.
You get to fly home.
Yeah.
And with one fewer day than you ordinarily would get, you get to go all the way to California, play the 49ers, who had the week off. They're already 9-point favorites. And, hey, the way they played yesterday.
Yeah.
Packers.
Scary.
Packers came on strong and Packers took it to the Cowboys. We'll be talking about that later. But really, we got to start with
the weekend itself was good, right?
Well, the whole weekend.
We
had
three doubleheaders.
Two upsets in Texas.
Yes, right, right.
And like, you know, ugly for the home, not for the home team, for the favorite Texans,
right,
for the home team. 45 points scored by the Texans against the favorite Browns, best defense in the NFL until Saturday.
Right.
48 points allowed by the Cowboys in the other game. Just incredible to see that happen. And yeah, we get the Martin Luther King Day doubleheader. I almost feel like all the great innovations for the NFL happened by accident. They may have discovered plutonium by accident.
Right.
Because I kind of like 2 and 2 and 2, not 2, 3, 1.
Right.
There's a symmetry to it.
There is.
And if
three
it lands.
3 and 1 day is a lot for some people anyways.
That's right. You're going from, you're
sitting here for 12 hours and just going to watch football. I think this does break it up.
And if it lands on
MLK
the 3-day weekend.
Right.
it makes sense. It really makes sense. And it makes sense this year because of a horrible snowstorm in Buffalo. And it was so funny to hear all the people, oh, it's soft. Why would you – hey, why do you want to play in the elements and
elements? I'll raise my hand. At first, I was that guy too. I was like, are they kidding me? Yeah. I mean, come on. And then I saw the forecast.
When we saw the video.
I was like, okay, you can't even do anything in that.
Ice Station Zebra from Buffalo on Saturday night. And even yesterday when they showed what it would have looked like during the game if they had stayed at 1 o'clock on Sunday, they made the right call.
Yes, they did.
So we get two games today. 4:30 p.m. Eastern is Steelers at Bills, Chris, and then the scheduled
original Monday night
game between the Eagles and the Buccaneers. But yeah, it made it different. You know, you get a curveball that kind of gives us a little time to breathe on Sunday after digesting two games Saturday. And I think that's the thing the NFL has to think about for fans.
Yeah.
You tie people up for 7 hours Saturday, and then you come back around for 11 hours the next day. It's hard for people to set aside that much time to watch football.
Agreed.
So maybe there is some wisdom to 2-2-2. Maybe that's something they're going to be thinking about going forward.
Yeah,
the numbers will drive it. If it gets a huge number in the 4:30 window on this holiday Monday, then they'll say, well, we would have thought of this.
Right, Yep. I back to the Buffalo thing. I mean, I'm old school. And when I first saw you write the article, I think Thursday or Friday, about what, you know, maybe they should think about canceling the game or whatever.
I didn't say that.
Well, I don't know.
I just said, I just said they got to keep an eye on it.
Move the game or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, oh, gosh, I hope they don't do that. Well, jeez, they should be playing in the elements. So I was one of those old, you know, get off my lawn type of things. And then, no, this was one that was the smart decision for everybody.
The balance is public safety versus playing a game in the elements that feels like old school football that is fun to watch on TV.
Right.
And when it gets to the point where it's not safe for people to get in their car and drive, it's not safe for people to be out in this, it's not safe for the first responders who would have to go drag someone's car out of a ditch. That's the stuff that people don't think about.
Yeah, there's
when you start
effect.
Putting out people in elements they shouldn't be in and stuff happens, they need to be rescued by people who shouldn't be out there either.
Yeah,
and it just becomes a cascading effect.
Yeah,
then you need people to rescue the rescuers. And then you got to rescue the people who are rescuing the rescuers, all because somebody was out there who shouldn't have been out there.
Yeah.
So they make the decision. Nobody goes out anywhere. Now, they did have an exception last night for the people who need to go to the stadium and dig out all the snow. So
they,
it was a limited exception
to
the travel ban.
Start helping out,
because it's a now they're saying it's a public safety issue because they have to dig out the stadium or they're going to have issues at the stadium. So, you know, they can there's a little flexibility in this, but the bottom line is they moved it a day. It's still a challenge to get it in today, but it's today. They made it clear yesterday it's not moving. And it's that balance of public safety and, you know, let's go out and play in the elements. And somebody made the point over the weekend, well, you know, why didn't they build a dome there then? They still wouldn't have been able to play yesterday with a dome. You still can't get to the stadium.
Yeah, right.
The only thing the dome does is it eliminates the need to bring in 200 people to shovel all the snow inside. You still got to get people in a position where they can get there.
Yeah.
But dome doesn't allow it to happen if there's a travel ban because people shouldn't be and can't be out on the road.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. They did the right thing, the NFL. And thank God that it landed on where, it was MLK Monday. It is a holiday, and it hopefully it'll all work out. It should have a great look on TV. I mean, snow, of course, on the side of the field, but up in the Northeast here, as you know today, it is cold as hell here today. I mean, it's 20 degrees, and I think it's going to be like that here for the next few days. So it should look like good old-school playoff football, nonetheless, for all of us old-schoolers out there.
It was 55 degrees when I woke up here on Saturday, and it's just been
down. And it just started to go drop big time,
So – on the other thing, too, I mean, think about when it's going to start. That late afternoon, it's going to be daylight, into dusk, and the lights are going to come on. It's going to feel like a big deal, and it will be a big deal. Steelers get a chance to be the second 7 seed in the 100-plus-year history of the NFL to shock the world and beat the Buffalo Bills. We'll be talking about that later on, but Let's get to what Detroit has been waiting for 32 years. And the thing that made me laugh the most last night, the concept that no one has ever been able to text someone congratulations on winning a Lions playoff game, because in 1991, there were no text messages. Cell phones were still in their infancy, and only like the really rich people had that big, giant brick phone.
Right. It's the first time the SMS had a deal with the Lions. Yeah. Congratulations,
a
playoffs.
Crush of Lions. I think Tirico mentioned that near the end of the game last night. So, look, we were talking about this before the show. We had kind of overlooked the Rams all year, as had many others. Right. This felt like another year to pay the bill from the F them picks mindset to win the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. The idea of them getting to the playoffs this year was unthinkable entering the season.
Right.
And then they beat the Seahawks to start the season. Well, that's a blip. That's a fluke. And then they were struggling for a while, but they start to get it going, and they really got something in Puka Nacua, the fifth-round rookie from Brigham Young, who could be Offensive Rookie of the Year, although I think we saw the Offensive Rookie of the Year on Saturday. We'll talk about that game, too. Matthew Stafford staying healthy most of the year. Cooper Kupp getting healthy. Aaron Donald still with gas in the tank. Some young defensive players after they trade Jalen Ramsey and kind of put Raheem Morris in a position where he's got one hand tied behind his back. The defense came on. Yeah. They were playing better down the stretch than the Lions. And, you know, maybe the Lions were saving a little something for that first home playoff game. And you underestimate the importance of the crowd support. Dan Campbell, the coach of the team, talked about that a lot. But it becomes a magical, special night. And they still only won by 1 point and could have lost. But that crowd and that vibe and that feeling and that urgency to get a playoff win for the first time in 32 years helped carry the day. And they needed it, because without that, they very well might have lost. Again, it was a 1 point victory. The Rams covered. You and I both took the Rams, and we were right. The Rams covered.
Yeah, well, it was a great game. I think that's where you start, right? It was one of those games where as soon as you turned on the TV, you heard the crowd noise, you went, wow, this sounds even a little more extra juice in the stands and the crowds than even your normal playoff game, where we can always kind of feel that buzz. But like yesterday, you were like, whoa. I mean, as soon as we came on air and showed some shots and we heard the crowd noise, you went, whoa, they are amped up and ready to go. I mean, the scene set with Stafford running onto the field being booed, and they love him, really, but they love their Lions a lot more. And then, of course, chanting Jared Goff as he's warming up. I mean, that was really cool. So I'm very happy for the Detroit Lions and their fans and everything. It's been a long time coming. And how can you not say positive things about Dan Campbell and everything he's turned around there, right? But it was an awesome football game. It really was. I mean, talk about a tale of two halves. I mean, the first half, it was literally like, you heard me in the viewing room. I was going, man, the Rams, they got to do something different. I mean, the Detroit's just going to move the ball up and down the field on them. They're doing whatever they wanted. Run the ball, pass the ball. It didn't matter. They could do it all, right? And, of course, the Rams weren't far behind that. They were moving the ball as well, but not to the same capacity. Second half starts, we got a totally different football game. And, you know, really kind of felt like the Rams outplayed Detroit in the second half, you know, had maybe more control of the football game, certainly controlled the clock. You know, they outgained Detroit by almost 100 yards total. But I think the big thing was, like we always kind of hit on to a degree, situational football. And the fact that the Lions scored 3 touchdowns and 1 field goal, and the Rams had to settle for 2 touchdowns and 3 field goals, that was the difference in the game. They got deep inside Detroit's red zone, right, 3 different times, and they said, nope, you're not getting the touchdown. We're going to hold you to a field goal. And, of course, those were huge moments of the football game that the Rams, you know, lost some opportunities there to control it a little bit.
Well, and then having to burn a couple of timeouts
on offense,
the second half left the Rams.
Kyron Williams getting hurt.
Yeah, in a position where they just couldn't stop the clock, and they couldn't stop the Lions when they needed to get the ball back and a chance to win the game. It was a very close game. It was a very exciting game. We're going to Detroit this weekend, sources close to me tell me.
It's awesome.
For the game on Sunday, the divisional game.
Inside.
Coverage begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. That's good. It's going to be cold, but we will be inside either way, but it'll be cold outside. It'll be cold getting there, but that's fine. It's going to be cold where we live anyway. We're going to be in the cold anyway, but indoors, Ford Field. I've never been to Ford Field. I've been to Detroit just to the airport.
Right.
I've never actually been to
cool
Detroit.
Stadium.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll like it.
That scene last night was awesome.
Right.
Barry Sanders, Calvin Johnson, Eminem, all
these
others.
Came out.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. No, I'm sure they'll be back this week because, look, I don't care who they play.
It's
they're
the
going to be
show
favored.
In town.
They're
right.
going to be favored.
Definitely. They're sitting pretty right
they're
now.
They're going to be favored by 5 or 6.
Right.
There's Ryan Day.
There's
Eminem.
Oh, your buddy. He's got that black dye.
He's got
out.
The
he's
Ryan Day black
out.
Dye in the beard. Come on, Eminem. Hey. But you know what? When you're Eminem, you can do
bodyguard
you can
next
do,
to him too. That guy.
You can do whatever. You can do whatever you want. I love Eminem.
Yeah.
I hope we see him. I you know I probably won't. They probably won't talk to us.
He'll know me, but you he won't know you.
He won't know me. But I know him. I've been listening to. Well, he might know you.
Just let that go.
He'll call
like,
you
oh, yeah,
Phil.
Yeah,
maybe he will know
yeah,
you. I don't know.
Hey, Phil. Good to meet you. I'm Chris. But yeah, thank you. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
But no, I've got. I know lyrics. I know some Eminem.
Well, yeah. Well, that he brought rap to the whole white people crowd. That's how you know.
I've got
right?
the Sugar Hill Gang original
okay,
vinyl.
Okay,
so come
okay,
on.
OG, okay, OG.
I don't know who you think you're dealing with here.
I don't know. You made me perk up a little bit
hip,
there.
Hop to the hippie to the hippie to the hip hip hop. You don't stop rocking to the out. I forget the rest. All right, but I'd remember it if I had time to think about it. Okay, so. Let's hear from Dan Campbell okay. talking about the Jared Goff performance. 22 of 27 for 277 and a touchdown last night. Here's Campbell.
Thought he played top-notch football, you know. He probably had two errors and everything else was – I thought he was on point. He looked loose. He looked relaxed. I thought he threw the ball with conviction, was strong in the pocket, got us in the right play. And he felt that way all week. He just was locked in all week, you know, and he's really been that way for 6 weeks now, like where you really felt like he's really honed in here. So just really proud of him, you know, and what he means to us and his play today. And I bring it back again. He's one of the reasons that we won this division, and he's another reason why we just won our first playoff game here in 30 years. So what a stud.
Almost, it was surreal. You know, it was something that you kind of imagined for so long. From the moment I got here, you imagined getting that playoff win and having this type of atmosphere in front of our home crowd and being able to sit on the ball like that and finish it out. And it kind of all hit me there. And to be honest with you, I didn't know it was over once we got the first down and until they sent in the personnel, and it kind of all hit me at once. But kind of had to subdue a lot of emotions this week and was able to kind of. Enjoy that moment.
There was some stuff that Amon-Ra St. Brown said last week that kind of hinted that Goff was doing his best
to manage it
and right. not say the wrong things.
Right.
But, I mean, think about it. At the end of the day, they threw him out. And they had to attach a first-round draft pick to Jared Goff to get the Lions to take him. And, I mean, let's not do too much of a victory out here. Like, they found, like, they knew that they were absorbing a contract that was not a great contract. And they made it work. We thought it was going to be 2 years and then they'd move on. Well, they're into year three now, and here they are in the playoffs, winning a game on the brink of the NFC Championship. They went there in 1991, lost to Washington. That's the last time both Washington and Detroit have been to the NFC Championship, when they played each other in 1991.
Wow.
And I think, you know, we talked last week, like if the Eagles know they're going to San Francisco, I'm less inclined to think they're going to win tonight.
Right.
I think there's benefit in the Lions finding out just before the game, hey, we don't have to go back to Dallas.
Yeah, we're going
to. They kind of wanted to, but you want a home game.
100%.
You
takes
just
over.
punch a ticket, and you're in the NFC Championship.
That gives you extra juice. Like, I guarantee as they were, you know, getting dressed for that football game, they're hearing the score of the other game, and they're going, what? Right? You know, you're starting to put your pads on. Hey, I'm going to go out for the early warm-up, maybe with my spandex on and my shorts and all that. Oh, man, you kidding me? The Green Bay's up
nothing?
Like this,
yeah.
Right? We got a chance. We win tonight. We're going to have another game here, right? And so, yeah, that does add some extra juice to their football team. Certainly, I think that gives them a little extra incentive. And then, hey, back to Jared Goff. I mean, Goff, how could you not be, you know, admire the guy, be proud of the guy? Yeah, I mean, that was a blow. That's a blow to any quarterback, anybody's ego. I don't care who you are. Hey, we did some good things here with the Rams. We went to the Super Bowl. You don't want me anymore? You're just going to trade me out the door just like that? In fact, you're going to give away stuff to trade me? I mean, in NFL world, that's as disrespectful as it gets. So that's why, you know, last night in the pregame show, I was like, man, Jared Goff's the one that's going to be – this is personal to him. This was personal. Matthew Stafford had nothing to be mad about. He didn't want to be a part of Detroit anymore.
And won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And won a Super Bowl. Right. First year.
And he went to L.A. right the first year and was like, hey, I took that guy's job and made us better. And, hey, so everything's good for him. He's not mad at the Rams or the Lions. Jared Goff's sitting there going, wait, I'm an L.A. kid. I was the number one pick, and that team screwed me over. And then, of course, they won a Super Bowl without me with the guy that's, you know, the old quarterback of this team. So the physical, not only, you know, the physical remake of him and the aggressive throws and some of the things that the reason the Rams got rid of him was because he couldn't make big-time aggressive throws in big moments, a la the Super Bowl wide-open post
Brandon
for
Cooks
touchdowns.
Twice.
Exactly.
Twice.
I mean, that was kind of a microcosm of why they got rid of him there. And Detroit, and this is where, you know, Dan Campbell's attitude and having an ex-quarterback and Mark Brunell work with Goff, they, you know, like we talked about, retooled, rewired the robot and got him confidence again and play a game that fits him along with that. And he's, you know, taken advantage of that opportunity and made a lot of big throws, especially early in the game. To come out that way and kind of the Rams were wobbly there for a little bit. If it ain't for Matthew Stafford and that offense kind of holding them in there in the first half, you're going, oh, no, they're in deep trouble here, the Rams. But really, I do really feel good for Jared Goff. What a great story. And it goes right along in lines with the Lions and everything that they're doing, too.
Right, but you crank it up a notch this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a
And they should
game.
Be able to win.
They should.
I suspect you and I will both be picking them. I have a feeling that when it's time for all of us to make our picks on Saturday, or Sunday, excuse me, it's going to be clean sweep Lions.
It's hard to pick right now the Bucks or the Eagles over the Detroit Lions. I mean, I don't think I'm crazy to say this. I mean, I certainly felt a lot more comfortable about the Rams being a better quality team right now than the Eagles or the Buccaneers. They might have got – that might have been out of the two games. Yeah, last night was the toughest matchup, right? So, and tough matchup in the sense of we always talk about, the Lions were better all year in totality, but when it's a matchup league and it was a one-point squeaker last night, right? That was – I mean, they won by the skin of their teeth. They got problems on the pass defense, right? And then, we know the Rams and their ability to throw the ball. Okay, so that, you know, even the tables a little bit there with the overall aspect of the football teams, and that's why the Rams matched up and had a chance to win the football game. I don't think the Bucs or the Eagles quite have the offense the Rams do. You know, Anna McVay with a playoff Super Bowl background of I can game plan for any big moment, right? So, yeah, if you're the Lions, a Lions fan, you're feeling pretty damn good sitting there right now.
Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make it.
The hope of rewriting history. And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
And look, it's a day to celebrate.
Yeah.
But there's a road left to go.
There
and
is.
At some point, Goff's going to have to make big throw, big spot, game on the line.
Yeah.
That's why the Lions decided, or the Rams, excuse me, decided to move on. And we'll see if he can do it in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Lions at 49ers.
Sure.
My God. And, hey, maybe they get lucky and the Packers go out there and win. For as good as the 49ers are, I kind of think Packers-Lions would be one hell of an NFC championship.
It would be. Hey, there's either way, both teams are scary. The Lions are scary in the fact that their style of football translates to playoff football. When you got a big old line like that, you can run the ball. It gives them different avenues, different ways to attack teams, right? Whether it's the 49ers and they have to play with them, they're going to have to defend that run, and we know it's a special play action pass game off that. And the other thing, too, is the fact that their D-line can stop the run, and one of the better units in football with that, too, to where, you know, it'll allow Aaron Glenn to play with the back end a little bit, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. We know that the 49ers are in a class of their own in the NFC, and it's going to take a special effort by whoever it is, that something we haven't seen from one of these teams, I think, to overcome the 49ers. And I think the Lions have some of those aspects to pull that type of upset off.
And the Packers, and we're going to talk about that game next, but to do what they did to Dallas gives them a shot of pure concentrated confidence.
They're right now, right.
And
I don't
and they got
too
nothing to lose,
right?
But the 49ers are going to have their hands full on Saturday with the Packers.
Yeah.
And they better be ready because they could get caught flat-footed, as we have seen top seeds do.
Sure.
One more thing about the Lions.
Yeah.
I want to give a little credit to a guy who stays in the background, who I think is as responsible for the resurgence of this franchise as anyone. And he's not looking for credit. He doesn't want credit. He's going to get credit. Chris Spielman. Sheila Ford-Hamp brought him in. Entrusted a lot of stuff to him. He does whatever they need him to do, but he's one of the reasons, one of the big reasons they hired Dan Campbell. I remember when Dan Campbell was hired and I asked his brother Rick Spielman, who was the Vikings GM at the time, do the Vikings get a dispensation on the kneecap biting since you guys are brothers?
Right.
And he said when his wife saw the Dan Campbell press conference, her first reaction was, that's the guy Chris would hire. That's the only guy Chris would hire. So there's that toughness. We talk about how the Dolphins are lacking in that department. The Lions aren't.
Not at all.
And that's the thing that could be the difference maker as they go.
Yeah, they got playoff grit.
And we see where
they're not afraid of the situation and going, hey, wait, it's all in. We're going all in on this moment, whatever it is. And that's why they've gotten where they have. And it's where Dan Campbell changed the whole mindset of the organization. Aggressive, we're going to pedal to the metal, we're going to keep the pressure on you, our offense is special, our defense is not, and because of that, they're ultra aggressive on the offensive side of the ball, and that's they play through that group there. We're going to control the ball, we're going to put points on the board, and we're going to make you, our opponent in the defense, you know, have to go all in to stop us, and we're going to make your offense, of course, have to keep pace with us. And that's kind of the beauty of the Lions right now. And, you know, last night, that was the cool thing of the football game, is we saw a second half adjustment where the Rams figured out how to kind of slow down the run and stop the play action pass, and Detroit's offense couldn't get it going. And you were going, wow, this is pretty incredible. You know, I was going, they couldn't stop anything in the first half, and here they are. It's Detroit. It's three plays and out. It's after the first drive, I know they got the field goal. After that, it was four plays and out. And I'm going, wow, the Rams kind of figured this out a little bit. I'll be interested to see what they did on the back end. And then as we were sitting there watching, you're just going, I mean, Detroit still can't stop the Rams. The Rams, it felt like they unlocked something, too, to where you're going, well, every time he throws the ball, it's 15, 20 yards. They're going up and down the field. But as I said to start, and as you know and everybody knows, they got down there close to the 10, 12-yard line, and now the field shrinks, and they have a good run defense, and now the Rams and the great passing offense, they can't spread the field out and spread some of these Detroit Lions zones out because the field shrunk because you're at the 8 or 9-yard line. And it became hard for the Rams to jam the ball in the end zone there and get that touchdown. And that's where, you know, I certainly thought they blew their opportunities to win the football game. He had a Cooper Kupp on the first field goal drive. He should have hit him. He missed the throw. That should have been a touchdown. The other times it was the Lions playing really good defense and giving them issues.
You mentioned stopping the run during the broadcast last night. They explained that the defense last year for the Lions was so bad, they decided this offseason they got to get good at something.
You got to be good
so
at one thing.
Let's get good at stopping the run.
That's right.
And that's where it pays off. When you get down into the red zone and everything crunches together, if you take away the run, it's harder to pass because you don't have to worry about anybody getting behind you.
Exactly right.
And
right.
And the windows are smaller.
Exactly.
And you turn touchdowns into field goals. That's how you
We saw the Patriots win a lot of games, a lot of years with like average defenses, right? We know they had some years with great defenses, but they had a lot of years where they went to AFC Championship game and still the Super Bowls with that formula right there. We're a 15th ranked defense in football, but we're a top two or three scoring defense because, yeah, you move the ball between the 20s on us, but we don't let you in the end zone. And then Tommy gets the ball, and we score a touchdown, and it's 7-3, and then it's 14-6, and so on. And Detroit has a little bit of that magic there, certainly. And it's impressive to see. But, hey, the other thing, too, we talked about golf. We talked about the Lions. We do need to talk about Matthew Stafford and the Rams
a little bit. That's where
we're going. Okay, cool.
That's the next topic.
All right.
Well, and the one thing that I want to start with on Matthew Stafford, because we were doing the video that looked back at the weekend, and at one point I looked up and saw the TV screen, and I saw Matthew Stafford flat on his back with his eyes rolled up in his head, and I thought, he's done for the game.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a play.
Yeah.
Now, we need to show that play because, you know,
there was a few late hits and things that went on, I thought, that were, you know, Detroit hitting the Rams, and they didn't get called a few times, where I thought, oh, wow. You know, I thought the refs favored Detroit a little bit throughout the matchup. That play right there, like, I was kind of shocked. Like, I'm going, that's 100 out of 100, like, roughing the passer.
When in doubt, regular season. Right? When in doubt.
I mean, he got a forearm to the head, you know, kind of late after the snap, after the throw there. That was a little surprising, certainly, in a big moment. And of course, that could have been, you know, penalty first down and maybe possibly a touchdown, and ended up just being a field goal.
Oh, man, he got crushed, yeah. And then, yes, he's down. And he didn't quite – somebody was explaining to me last night that maybe he went to the fencing posture. Not quite. But the arms were up, but it wasn't the same thing.
I think
thing.
It was more like, holy shit, I got
blasted.
Hit hard there.
He got right. blasted, and yeah. You hit your head on the turf. That's the Tua thing from last year, and that surface is not as forgiving as grass would be. But, yeah, that's the double whammy. That should have been roughing the passer. We have seen – Far less than that called. And I think if they had thrown a flag there, nobody would have complained about that.
Let's play that replay again if you can, guys. I mean, I honestly remember watching it live, and I was kind of doing my podcast at the time. I thought Aiden Hutchinson was almost borderline late hitting him. It was throw, extra step, hit him, then the other guy. So I was like, oh, here comes the flag. And then, of course, nothing happened, and so be it. And listen, I'm in favor of – you know, the opposite of when in doubt, whip it out. Let's let them play. It's football. It's physical.
But
it's
I'm in favor of consistency.
But the consistency does drive us crazy. And we said
I don't know who the referee was in that game, but shame on you for not seeing that. I mean, he got blasted in the head. That's exactly what they don't
want
defensive players to do.
I think that's where the home field advantage comes in. It's the referee.
Downgrade. Put him in the Brad Allen trash bin.
I don't have the guts to throw the flag here in this situation with
this
crowd there.
That's a no-brainer. That's something that if anybody would have complained about it, we'd say, get the hell out of here. That's exactly what they don't want doing. You don't want some 250, 300-pound guy coming in and blasting the quarterback in the head as he's falling down. That's exactly what they don't want.
Yeah, I was surprised, too. Just the way the league has been lately and how they protect the quarterbacks, that was surprising.
And the whole thing with the concussion protocol, look, we know it's not perfect, and I'm not going to allow them to gaslight me into never talking about it again, because that's a temptation. We saw it with T.J. Watt, which was laughable when you think about it. The Thursday night game, he takes Ezekiel Elliott's knee to the face. They never check him for a concussion. They're checking his jaw. They're looking at out of his mouth, and they don't even say concussion during the broadcast.
Yeah, right.
And then he's back with the RoboCop shield, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, light sensitivity is one of the – but they still don't mention concussion, and it's like we all just kind of look the other way. We can't do that. If we truly care about health and safety, we have to be vigilant about it.
Yep.
But it is what it is. They take him in the blue tent. He wants back in. It's a playoff game. He's back in. They don't want to take him to the locker room for 15 minutes because then you put the backup in. I don't even know who that – oh, it would have been Carson Wentz versus Jared Goff.
Yeah, right.
Well, how about that?
Hilarious, right?
But it is what it is. And the guys, I hate to say this, they know what they signed up for, but if we're going to act like we care, you can't just selectively care.
Well, it's consistency.
Care.
I think that's
you
what you're talking
about. You can't selectively care.
That's what everybody kind of, you know, we see. In the playoffs, the refs seem to all of a sudden swallow the flags a little bit. And that's fine, but I think what we're saying is just we wish it was like that in the regular season. Either way, Stafford hanging in there, right? I don't know what he hurt there. It was the ribs, the shoulder. I couldn't quite tell. He hit the ground so hard. You know, I could certainly see, like, yeah, your chest cage and all that hit the ground so hard that you maybe go, oh, my gosh, did I pull a rib muscle? Did I break a rib? Whatever. Phenomenal year by him. Incredible performance in the football game. You know, Kyren Williams, the run game didn't quite work to the capacity I think they wanted to. I don't think, you know, the fact that their defense couldn't slow down the Lions in the first half, I think forced them into a, maybe throwing the ball a little bit more than they wanted to in this football game. But, man, I mean, how many big-time throws did he make? Incredible. And then Puka Nacua on top of that is special, right? So the Rams should feel really good about where they are going in the future. It's the first time in what, Mike, 3 years? They're going to have money to spend in free agency, right? And they got some young talent. You talk about the trio they got of Stafford, Nacua, and Kyren Williams at running back, and you go, whoa, and they got a young offensive line and some pieces on the defensive side. The future is bright for the Rams to really be jump back on the seam in a big way in 2024.
And look, I know some of the same folks with the Rams organization who said they weren't going to move from St. Louis also told us that they weren't moving on from Matthew Stafford. That's baloney. They would have loved to have moved on from Matthew Stafford this past offseason. They didn't see a future there. They didn't see a path to being contenders while Matthew Stafford was still playing.
Right.
And they wanted to avoid another, it was like $59 million that became fully guaranteed as of March 17th.
Good thing that didn't happen.
They were hoping that the Jets weren't going to get Aaron Rodgers,
right,
and the Jets would pick up the phone and Matthew Stafford would have gone to New York,
right,
and then we wouldn't have seen the game we saw last night. We wouldn't have seen Stafford back in Detroit last night.
If they have an offensive line and run the ball and he doesn't get the crap beat out of him like he has the last few years before this, Matthew Stafford is still awesome. And for what they're paying him and the level of play you got, he's a bargain. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in football. He's one of the best arms in football and got a lot of years in front of him as long as they can keep him healthy. And I think they have done some things there to be able to solidify that. It's as we talked about, it's the best offensive line Matthew Stafford's had since he's been with the Rams, their ability to run the ball. And then, of course, we know McVay's ability to draw up plays down the field, Puka Nacua playing Cooper Kupp off of him, and the explosive plays they can make on that side of the ball. I think the future is bright for Stafford and the Rams there.
There was actually some stuff I caught wind of where people thought they were hoping he would retire before this year. Mm. They're just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go out there and get the crap beat out of me again.
Right.
And it's like, well, maybe he'll retire next year. Now you got to be thinking, hey, we don't want this guy to retire. We want this guy to stick around. Stick
Definitely.
Around. Let's I go. Mean, we got
at,
something
Look at
here.
Some of these. Are you kidding me with that throw right there?
And then it's no look sidearm, like unbelievable.
He's rolling dice there. He throws it from below his knee. I mean, it's insane. It really is. It's the throws he made last night. He made about three or four no look throws that he does it so much and so easily. People don't even recognize it. That throw.
The 1-2-2 Atwell is great because he double clutches.
Yes.
And then he throws it in the keyhole.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
I thought it was picked off.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm like, how in the hell did he even get that to him?
What did I say? I was like, holy crap, he's just going to walk it into the keyhole all night. Because you're right. He double clutched it and then went, I can still get it in there. He saw it and went, whoa, that's tight. But oh, I see a little bit of a room to get it in there. Boom, and he threw it in. He's just an incredible talent throwing the football. And that was awesome to watch. I'm sure he's sad today. But as we said, I think this one was way more personal to Jared Goff than it was Matthew Stafford. This was like a cool homecoming for him. Jared Goff wanted to shove it up Sean McVay, you know what, in the Rams and show them what he's got.
And the future's far brighter for the Rams than we would have thought. Puka Nacua has been great. They got Kobe Turner on defense.
Oh, definitely.
He
they
could
got
be
some
the defensive rookie of the year by the time it's all said and done. So they have reason to be very optimistic about the future. Puka, I mean, when he catches this ball, he has to wait for a little bit. I'm thinking, he's not going to score, is he? And he just muscles his way in. It's
Speed,
incredible.
Strength, body control, right? I think that's the thing that surprised me the most about Puka Nacua this year. You saw some of the strength and physicality coming out of BYU. The speed and the explosiveness, the ability to run away from people. Didn't see that a lot in college. And, man, he is hands down, and I've kind of said this on my podcast, Mike, a few times over the last month and a half. He's the number one target for the Rams. When you watch them, the majority of their pass plays are Puka Nacua is the first read and Cooper Kupp's the second read. I think he's taken that role from Cooper Kupp and, you know, is going to ride it into the future.
Incredible. Here. And great kid. Talk to him at one point this
Humble
year.
As hell.
Yeah. And that humility is going to be tested after all the praise he's going to be getting when people realize what a special rookie season he had. And it could have been even more special because, you know, they could have won the game last night. He could have had one big catch or two that might have made a difference. And there was a 3rd-and-14 play where he did everything he could to catch it. Game on the line, getting late, 4:20 left.
Yeah, this is another moment.
They're keeping the flags down in the pocket. Watch for the jersey pull. Watch for the jersey pull.
No, they definitely going to call DPI. I think they could also call, you know, there's a chance they thought they may even call necessary roughness.
The blow to the head of the defenseless receiver coming in there with the elbow to the head. But, you know, we see jersey pulls from time to time, and sometimes they'll say, well, it still didn't restrict him. And I don't know that it restricted him, but still, we've seen in high-profile moments, Chris.
I know. All those people out there.
Super Bowl 57.
Yeah.
We saw a jersey pull.
Yeah. For those people that think it doesn't affect you, I just want to go, you're crazy. Well, like, if you go out there on a field with me right now, it stretches the jersey. Exactly.
Tight.
Like, if we go out in the field right now and you let me hold your shirt all the time and do that, you're going to have a hard time separating.
See this one again. This was the one that was very controversial at the end of the Super Bowl. There was a jersey pull by James Bradbury of Juju Smith-Schuster, and it was called. And how is that? Look at this. Watch the pull. Watch the pull.
It was a pull before that already when he came out.
But the point is, they call that, and they don't call the one we saw last night. The one we saw last night was more egregious.
I hear you. What the Lions did on the defensive side of the ball last night that I think was different, right, is they play a lot of zone. You've heard me all year ago. They're not good man-to-man team, right? They don't have the corners to do that. They play zone. Last night it looked like they went, wait, we can't play zone. He's going to pick us apart. Yeah, they might get open against man-to-man, but we'll be aggressive and we'll pull and see how the game's called. And that was one thing that definitely jumped out to me as I watched the game is that Detroit, they were forcing them. They certainly, there was a lot of plays where I went, oh, they're playing man, and they're going, we're going to kind of have some sticky hands, and we're going to call the bluff on the refs and see if they'll actually throw the flag there. And I thought that was one of the change-ups of the football game. And most of the highlights we showed there of Stafford throwing the football, it was against man-to-man coverage. And of course, he was having success because the Lions are not super talented in the back end.
Tight end Tyler Higbee reportedly has a torn ACL. Kirby Joseph coming in hot, just like he did to T.J. Hockenson. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be a balance here between being obsessive about avoiding guys getting hit in the head and letting guys, you know, come in low like a torpedo and take those knees out. How do you avoid blowing out your knee when a guy can cleanly and legally come in like this?
I knew it right away.
Yeah. You know, it's clean. Is it? It's legal. Can it be legal and dirty? I remember back when they first started fining players for the hits to the head of the defenseless receivers. And we heard stories like Larry Fitzgerald was telling defensive backs, if you hit me high and you get fined, I'll pay your fine. Right. Just don't hit me low. Yeah. I don't want to be hit low. Rodney Harrison has said that guys would rather be hit high than low. You recover from a concussion much more quickly than you recover from a torn ACL. One concussion isn't going to end your career potentially. Yeah. One torn ACL
can end it. Can change it drastically. Exactly right.
I'd like to think, and I know you're talking about a big guy, and that's one of the reasons why they allow hits below the waist in football. There's only one way for a small guy to get a big guy down. You hit him low.
But he's not looking there.
Yeah, it's just
he's in a defenseless position where it's not a dirty play, but most defenders would tell you they don't even want to do that, and they're going to aim for the guy's belly or chest.
Aim for the waist.
Exactly.
Aim for the waist.
That's what more, you know. So I'm not mad at Kirby Joseph, and I think a lot of the things that you're saying, it's a big guy, oh, no, I want to go low and just get him down. But, you know, I do think there's defenders, and, of course, offensive players want no part of that, but there's defenders in football that know, man, I don't want to do that to the offensive guy. I don't want to hear his knee pop as I hit him. I don't. So I'm going to aim for his chest or his belly button and make him pay that way. And that's certainly what I wish that Kirby Joseph would have done there instead of attacking the knee joint in a spot where you go, man, if you hit that there and his foot is in the ground at all, he's done for the year. It's over.
Done.
And that's unfortunate. And I think Matthew Stafford, after the play, was trying to tell him that a little bit. They were going face-to-face a little.
Yeah.
He's going, hey, I saw you did that a few weeks ago on film. How many people are you going to hurt this year? Like, I'm sure it was something like that he said to Kirby Joseph.
One more thing real quickly before we break. Let's hear from Sean McVay. He has rediscovered his passion for coaching. Mm-hmm. It was shaky last year, to say the least. Here he is talking about on how proud he is of this edition of the Rams that got as far as it did.
I'm so proud of this football team. And, you know, the finality of it is still kind of, it doesn't totally resonate. But, man, did I learn a lot and really appreciate this group. You know, they helped me find my way again and how much I love this and love the people that I'm around. And it certainly is always about people. It's these players, these coaches. But I think the further that you get away from the raw emotions of it, the more appreciation they'll have for what they did. And I think there's a lot of things that we can build on, but you got to do it. You know, it's, you know, as we know, and this group is an example of it, the preseason stuff doesn't mean
Hey, look, he kind of hinted at it there. They helped him find his way again. We both heard it, and it just because he didn't leave doesn't mean he wasn't thinking about leaving.
No,
it's just
right,
strange
exactly
how people are like, oh, you were wrong to say he was thinking about leaving because he didn't leave. It's like, pay attention. We said he was thinking about it. We didn't say he was going to. He was thinking about it. And there was a point where if he could have gotten a seat at one of the major networks for $20 million a year to call a game, he would have been gone. And he missed his window the year before, and there was regret about that. And there was some serious consideration given by him to leaving. And yeah. He's glad he didn't. He's rediscovered his love for it. And now, you know, when it felt like the arrow was pointing straight down, now it feels like the arrow's pointing up. It's a lot easier to fall in love with it when you think you got a pretty good team.
Definitely, right? And, you know, now they know they got some you know, money to play with and some assets to play with here and a first-round pick for the first time in a while to where they go, well, yeah, I mean, we made a significant jump this year. We can go even farther next year with a little money spending and free agency. And, of course, they kill it in the draft almost every year. The Rams are the Rams because of their ability to draft. I know there was all the top-end trades and all that, but damn, the rest of the team was homegrown third and fourth and fifth round picks, and they've done that once again here. Now they fill it in with, you know, a few more superstars on defense, right? That's what they're missing. And maybe, you know, they get another wide receiver or big playmaker on the offensive side of the ball, and you start to go, whoa, whoa, they got a pass rusher in free agency, they got a receiver, they drafted a few guys, ooh, they got a corner too. Uh-oh, the Rams are loaded again. Watch out in the NFC West, and I think they're on the cusp of doing that.
All right, we take a break. When we return, the NFC North went 2-0 yesterday because the Packers went into Dallas. And how about them Cowboys, and what does it mean moving forward for Jerry Jones and his football team? We'll discuss that next year on PFT Live.